Welcome to the City Life Podcast. This podcast is here as a resource to journey together, connecting where you can, whenever you can, in your everyday. Enjoy listening, be encouraged to share, be inspired, and be blessed as you do so.
Welcome to the City Life Podcast. I am here with Simon Joy, and I just want to say a massive welcome to the City Life Podcast. We've had Joy on before once, haven't we, Joy?
Yes.
But we've not yet spoken to Simon, so it's a real privilege to be here in your home this time as well, to be talking about the presence of God. And as we go into this year, I wanted to start all of these podcasts by just asking you about what you want to talk about, rather than me come in with a leading or a question. Just ask you guys, the presence of God, what's your sort of experience of the presence of God?
That's a huge one.
Well,
and what I have to say is my experience of the presence of God has been different in different seasons. And I think it's really important that we don't get tied down into this is what the presence of God looks like. Because I was one of the people when the Toronto blessing was around that, you know, if I was in a meeting and God came, I would physically react in my body. I would shake, I would fall on the floor, all those sort of things. And to people looking on, they could go, oh yeah, God is there in the presence. But I would then say, for me, that just felt uncomfortable. God was doing something. I knew he was there, but I didn't always know what he was doing. I didn't always know what it was about. And then there's other times when actually it's been much more about that sense of holiness and quiet and actually not wanting to move. And I suppose those are corporate expressions of the presence of God. But if you had asked me, well, what is my experience at the moment, when obviously we have far less of those sort of corporate worship times where we're experiencing the presence of God. I would say that the journey I have been on over the last little while has been to recognise the internal presence and to go, am I in touch with the God who is within me? And can I in any moment just take a step back and recognise that? God is here. So I suppose you've got the external presence of God, which is manifest in lots of different ways. And then for me, it's the internal. And I would say this season for me is much more about that internal presence of God, who is the one who is transforming me, who is the one who is changing me. I trust to be more like Jesus, but who is also the one who is, I hope, spilling out from me through the Holy Spirit. Because I think my heart, our heart, is obviously that people will be impacted by God and impacted by his presence and touched by him.
Yeah.
So the journey into the internal has been a bit of like contemplation sort of style stuff that I know several people are involved in, but with an external focus. In other words, it's like I go inward in order to go outward.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, that, I mean, that feels really spot on. I just wanted to go back though to something you said before. So you said there'd be corporate moments where you would recognize that the presence of God came. Now I'm just really interested, I suppose, in your perspective on what it looks like. And because God is with us always, so you know, but his presence is with us as soon as we ask him to be. So what's different, and especially in terms of like maybe biblically or prophetically or whatever, what it looks like to say, well, God is with me and God came in a moment.
Okay. I suppose the terminology that used to use was about glory.
Right, okay.
So if you think about the scripture about when God came into the temple, you know, they prayed and God came into the temple, and it was the weight of the glory of God that caused them to be on their knees and to pray and whatever happened. That is the corporate sense that can sometimes happen, is that you are in a room and it's almost like God is there, but he comes closer. So God is there all the time, yes, but he comes closer, and it's the weightiness of his presence. It's the knowledge, and I suppose I think awe and wonder comes from that.
Yeah,
I think that's it. It releases that sort of awareness that God is so much bigger. And I am a feeler, so I'll be the first to put my hand up and go, maybe I experience it because I am a feeler, so that I have a sense of what's happening in the atmosphere. I have a sense of what's going on. So I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I can sense God is here. And maybe other people who that's not their primary method of, engagement with the Spirit of God, is they might not sense it in that way.
Yes, but what if you're a person that's not a feeler naturally, but you're really hungry for that presence of, like, and God has come, and, like, you know, in a moment when clearly, you know, if you go to a meeting, there's nothing quite so discouraging as going to a meeting where everyone's, like, clearly having this corporate sense of, oh, the Holy Spirit is here, and you're like, oh, I really want, and then you feel like you can't enter into that, or can't find that, or can't engage with it somehow. I wonder if you've got any sort of wisdom for... Because most of us have probably been in a moment like that where either we've been distracted or we've, you know, but we are just feeling like we can't enter into a moment that where God's clearly moving.
That's a tricky question. That is a tricky question. I know that there have been times when I've been in meetings when people have been going, oh, God's moving, and I haven't felt it. But then that's usually because... for me, there's something else going on. So there's usually something I have to address. And that's me then stepping back into the internal and going, well, God, what, you know, why can't I engage? Is there something you want me to do? Is there something I need to repent of? Is there something I need to allow you to heal? Is there something? So I probably just do that internal journey. I think sometimes there's a lot of hype in meetings, right? So I have been in meetings where, you know, you've got a lot of people doing a lot of things and everything, and I personally have gone, well, I'm not sure that this is anything other than people going through what I would almost call a performance mentality. I don't mean that derogatory. I just think it's that we all have a way of being, and different traditions and different you know, different forms of expression happen. And so, you know, I suppose, like, when we went to South Africa with Kate, you know, and the meetings there were loud and long and everybody was like that, and I'm like, this is all beyond me because I am much more.
Yeah.
But for them, that was the presence of God. So sometimes it's just a matching, I think, of our experience and our expectations and the culture that we're in.
Yeah.
I think your question, though, is really hard, because you said, what if you're really hungry and you don't feel? And yet there are so many testimonies of people who have prayed, God, show me yourself. And he has. But I think the better prayer to follow on from God, show me yourself, is actually, God, open my eyes.
Right.
Because what we've said is God is there, but perhaps we just can't see. So, you know, the story of Elisha and his servant Gehazi, and they were there in this town, and they were surrounded by the enemy, and the servant got up and said, oh, look, you know, Lord Elisha, the enemy are all around us. And Elisha said, aha, and he prayed. And he prayed that the eyes of his servant would be open, and at that point his servant could then see the spiritual realm, and he could see that the chariots and horsemen of Israel is what they called it, which is basically the angelic. He could see the angelic host. I mean, there's lots more in that story. But I think, you know, we need our spiritual eyes opened. And actually, that can be scary because we don't necessarily know what we're going to see when we pray open our eyes to the spiritual dimension.
Yeah.
Sometimes. But maybe that is a prayer. And you know, Paul prayed it, didn't he, in Ephesians. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be opened, that you will be able to see. And I can't quote the rest of it, but that just that wonderful.
I was impressed with that.
But it's just that wonderful verse, isn't it? I want the eyes of my heart to be opened that I can experience the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because why does God manifest his presence? Why does he come close? Why does we have those moments? Are they a response of God to our hearts, or are they a move of God that is actually designed to encourage us to respond back? Because it's suggested, or a lot of scriptures would suggest, like the John, you know, we love because he first loved. So does God move first and then we respond to the move? Mm. But it's a difficult one, and I don't think there's one answer.
No, I think that I was going to say, it sounds like it could be a sort of both and in any given situation. I really want to ask you a question, Simon.
To you.
Simon, just having known you over the last few years, probably, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 years, I feel like what you have been through is a little bit of like a reformation. I don't know if that's a fair word to describe it as, but a little bit of maybe a reawakening to God's presence in your life. And I witness it as a worship leader mainly. And I don't know if you want to talk about what that presence looks like for you, or anything, any sort of, I don't know if you want to share any kind of testimony about that, because I feel like, you know, it has been pursuing your heart particularly, and as a man in the church, you know, it's really encouraging to hear.
Okay. You have to try and find out who or what you are in the presence of God, what you can do, what you can't do. And I know I've learned that I'm a worshipper, that's what I can do. Worship can be multifaceted, whatever the word is. But to me, to come before a God that's is, a God that exists, a God that loves me, a Jesus who loved me, a Jesus who died for me, then whatever form that of my response is my worship, whether that be in a church setting, or whether it be on my own, or whether it be just being. The most amazing thing for me of the presence of God is the fact that the Holy Spirit, when I believed in Jesus, came and changed my dead spirit into a life-living spirit. And the Holy Spirit joined with my spirit, and I have eternal life. I will live forever. And my response to that is, I can only worship the God that did that for me. And I will be eternally grateful. And I will always worship that one, because without him, I don't exist. Without him, we don't exist. There is nothing. But he's created it all and created us for his pleasure. I am his pleasure. And he is so huge, and I am so insignificant, and yet that's why I want to worship. And worship can be with words, it can be with thoughts, it can be with actions. But if you put me in a meeting with other people who are worshiping, then I will just want to worship. But I don't feel God. I'm not aware of God. But is that important to me? Well, I have said in the past, yes, at times, why is everybody else falling down or shaking and rocking, rock and rolling, and I'm not? But that's really not the point of me being there.
Mm.
It is to encounter him, because he always encounters me.
Mm.
Not in the physical, but I want to encounter, I mean, I'm hungry to encounter the living God.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think it'd be worth talking about just what God said to you about getting to know the Holy Spirit, because I think that's one of the things that I've seen has been incredibly transformative in you in the last year or so.
We were out for a walk. We were walking with Paul and Jill. We were just out in the forest walking, and I was on my own. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I want to get to know you more, Simon. I want you to get to know me more. That was not an audible voice. That was just something internal that I felt the Holy Spirit say to me. Because I've always been a person that would either pursue the Father, the heart of God, or pursue Jesus as the person who is everything is, everything to be given to. But I think the Holy Spirit, I then attempted, because it's always to get to know the Holy Spirit more, I used the podcast by Mark Gamblin, goes through the various things about the Holy Spirit, which I found very helpful. I knew anyway, but I just found it very helpful. I realised that I knew more than I thought I did about the Holy Spirit. And I pursued God on my own through worship, through YouTube, through just worshipping and spending time. I found in the summer months, when I'd come home from bowls or something like that, about 9:30, that I would spend between, say, 9:30 in the evening, 11:30, 12 o'clock, downstairs here, with YouTube on, just worshipping along with who I found. And I found myself on my face many times, because I just want to know God. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like that's a beautiful invitation, firstly. Just a really beautiful mood. But it also sounds like it's something that at that point you made a decision to commit to pursuing that. Because that is something that you placed as a... You made that a priority, you know. Like, because we don't feel these things every day, do we? We don't always feel like, today is the day I'm going to go for it. We don't feel it every day, but actually having a consistent, I've made a decision to pursue the Holy Spirit, and therefore I'm going to take some time in my day to do that, is important, it feels like, because it grows and you cultivate something. It's not unlike growing a garden, you know? Yeah.
I think what I found is that the Holy Spirit isn't an it. And the Holy Spirit isn't a spiritual toolbox, is how I would put it. The Holy Spirit is a person. And just like Jesus and just like the Father, the Holy Spirit is a person. And the Holy Spirit's got feelings. How we respond to him. How we treat him is like how we would treat... It should be how we would treat Jesus, or how we would treat the Father, and that. So for me, that became. I was aware that the Holy Spirit was somebody who I need to love, not use, not get the gifts or the. Not get the things that I wanted, but actually to love the Holy Spirit. not for my benefit, but to love him. I have found that that process from the summer probably has dwindled. But I have found myself pursuing Jesus again. Mm. I've started to re-watch The Chosen.
Oh, so good.
The first series of The Chosen. And nearly, well, all the episodes, every encounter that Jesus has with people, it just makes me cry.
Yeah.
Because he transforms lives. And one of the latest episodes I've listened to is Nicodemus. And again, the story of being born again.
Mm.
How do you be born again? How do you have eternal life? Mm. It's the Holy Spirit. Mm. But when there's a point where Nicodemus can join them and go off with the other disciples, I know.
It's heartbreaking, isn't it?
Because you know that most of us, unfortunately, are like Nicodemus.
Mm.
And we really don't pursue Jesus like we could do.
Mm.
And I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm not fully committed to Jesus. I don't want to be. Mm. That sounds strange. I've been a Christian over 50 years.
Mm.
But I'm not completely sold out to the person that I know I should be sold out to. Mm. Because there's life and you... Yeah.
I think if you watch the episode, that is really... It's clear, you know what I mean? But what I love about the episode is that when Nicodemus gives his offering... And the other rabbi, who's this from? He says it's from a friend, and I love that because it sort of makes me feel like even though I can't always give my best, that actually Jesus accepts what I do, what I can give, and treasures it. So I love that. So
and I think the other aspect really I think is having been a Christian for 50 years is you realise there is always more. So I think, what Simon's saying is, well, I'm not. It's like, because there is always more. Yeah. And the more we understand how and who God is, the more we want our lives transformed. And, we start by talking, well, what's the presence of God? It's about that transformation. Mm. It's about that awareness of... the nature and the character of God being formed in us. So, we become more aware, I think, of our failings or our inability. But it's not because necessarily we are. It's just because we become more attuned.
So I, just being really honest, I think I'm part of a generation... That craves connection and craves experience of craves experiences. So I'm not quite articulating myself well, but I think sometimes where I'm coming from, and maybe where people of my generation are coming from, is that what we crave is an experience, or we crave moment of wonder, and that's the highest thing to get to. But there's also part of me that knows that life with Jesus is actually a bit plodding sometimes. That sounds bad, but it's about day by day, isn't it? And I wonder if you guys could maybe encourage those of us like me.
Yeah, well, I would think I was always encouraged when I read about Mother Teresa, and I read about how, for however many years it was, she never felt the presence of God, but yet she still served because she said he's still worthy. And I think sometimes we are looking for an experience based on our past experiences.
Yes. Yeah. Right? Absolutely.
And that's where we go wrong.
Yeah.
Because I think for me, probably some of the experiences with Jesus have been moments, but a moment in God's presence is powerful. And it's not that I then don't feel it, but I can come back and I can, in the way of a testimony. So I know I've shared in church before about the powerful experience I had of when I felt like I was covered by the wing of an angel. And that was an experience that lasted for perhaps 5 minutes. But the reality of that experience, actually, I can use whenever I get into a situation where I'm feeling anxious, when I'm feeling sick, when I'm feeling... Because I go, oh, I know God can meet me here because he's shown me. So I think sometimes... In the pursuing for something new, and there is always something new or something more, we are not necessarily utilising and remembering. Because when you take the Bible and you think, well, God turned up here, here and here, with the exception of, you know, the 3 years when Jesus walked the earth, there was a long gap between most encounters.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's where I think... Where I think that my generation is probably, because we're constantly
it's the instant generation and whatever. And God, that's why for me I think this internal journey's been quite important. Because if you can find the God within, you can tune in, and it's not that's not a feeling.
No.
That's a knowing, and there is a difference. It's a there is a spirit. To spirit connection. It's what Simon talks about when he had the revelation of actually what God had done all those years before, and it came to him, you know, as a revelation that actually the Spirit of God had transformed him and lives within. And so that sort of journey inward is a way of engaging presence without a feeling element to it, because like it's there is a well. There is a source. I have him with me. So I think some of it is just going, let me enjoy God's presence. And I'm a nature person, so I enjoy God's presence in, you know, I see something beautiful and I think this is a reflection of God and I take a moment. So I think some of it is about pausing, and actually we're not very good at pausing and taking moments.
No, agreed. Right. I mean, not yet. It takes practice.
It takes practice, but it's also everything. And Simon will tell you, I'm the most impatient person. And, you know, I'm always in a hurry, always wanting things done, always whatever. So I've had to cultivate, and I'm not very good at it, but I try and cultivate that.
Yeah.
But I think it's, there will be a day when we will see him face to face. And we are travelling to that day.
Yeah.
And on the way, he will grace us.
Yeah.
With moments, with experiences, with, you know, for me, prophetic words and that kind of thing. I'm just going, oh, yeah, God, you're just demonstrating again, you know, how much you love us, how much you're with us. But that sort of tangible sense of the presence of God is very rare. And it was rare all through scriptures.
And that's the thing, isn't it, is that when I've had moments like that, they have been moments, and also they've not been created by me at all. And often it's actually been at times when I've been pretty desperate things have been going pretty badly, that those moments will come and, you know, you feel, oh, God's showing up right now, here for this moment.
Yeah.
And that's really encouraging to know that. I mean, it's frustrating because you sort of think, well, I want a moment like that every day. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
But there is there's a, you know, he's not a tame lion truth that he will come in his own time. But also an element of I can practice acknowledging God's presence with me in this moment right now. And the practice of that becoming more real. Do you see what I mean? So if every day... we're just practicing acknowledging God's presence, I think there is probably something there about that encouraging our spirits and building our spirits up with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now do you want to sort of get into a little bit, and we talked about hearing from God before, but in terms of those daily moment practices of acknowledging God's presence, are there keys that you would think actually this is a good thing to practice? Obviously, as a prophetic community, putting out the prophetic activations, which we're really grateful for. And I think that though that's the sort of thing I mean, but are there things that you think actually as individuals, this is what I might do to take a moment?
Well, I mean, Simon's talked about worship.
I haven't got anything. I mean, I might sit and watch YouTube, but I haven't got anything that's regular, that's every day. The reason I say that is that because if I love somebody, I'm going to love them. And it doesn't mean I've set a time or set a place to love them. I'm going to love them. It's like if I love joy, I love joy. I wouldn't set a time or a...
At this point, I will love you.
Or even when he's going to tell me he loves me, you know.
I've got nothing wrong with people that do it.
Yeah, no.
But I will not do it. It's not what I want to do. If I love Jesus, I'm going to love him today. When that happens, it happens. When I've got the time, it will happen.
Yeah.
If I'm out gardening, I'll love Jesus there in the garden. If I'm out walking, I'll love Jesus while I'm walking. When I wake up, I love Jesus when I wake up. Before I go to bed, I love Jesus when I'm going to bed. I don't want to, you know, that makes sense.
Yeah, but I would also say one of the things that I think Simon utilises tremendously in his is the gift of tongues, right? So I think, he'll be in the shower and I'll hear tongues. We'll be walking along and I'll hear tongues. And it's an almost an unconscious thing, I think, from Simon, that he's just, you know, making that connection through just worshipping, speaking in tongues, just connecting with God, and it happens all the time in every place. But I think it's coming out of this, wanting to love God. I think in terms of me, I'm very different, and we are very different because we, you know, and I suppose I sit down and I do my, you know, I read something and I take a moment. I have a journal and sometimes I journal. I'm not a disciplined every day at the same time either. And I think that's partly something to do with, you know, we're retired now. We don't have the same kind of routines that people, when you're working and everything, you have to have.
I am very fortunate. I'm not a leader. I am not gifted. They are a benefit. They are a benefit. I don't have to develop my gift. I don't have to find a way of doing anything in the church sense. I don't have to prepare anything. I don't have to even think about it. I can just concentrate on being me and my God, which is a real benefit.
I get what you're saying, but I'm not sure
we wouldn't agree that he wasn't gifted.
I'm not sure I'd agree that you're not gifted, and actually I'm not sure that I'd agree that anyone is not gifted. And also I just think, you know, I guess I feel like everyone has something to give and everyone has something to prepare or cultivate in that sense. And like when you see anybody, you're going to want to share where you are, or you like you bring encouragement and you bring your own wisdom and your own perspective, and actually that is a gift. So
but what he's saying is he's not like I with the prophetic community. I spend a lot of time preparing, because actually if I'm going to lead people, if I'm going to train people, if I'm going to disciple people, if I'm going to grow people, which is my heart and you know, my God-given calling, then I have to be taking responsibility to stretch myself. So I have parameters. I think that's the difference, is there are parameters around some of the stuff I do because of a very specific gifting. Whereas I think Simon said that it's not really the parameters, because he's not following that kind of specific call or responsibility.
It's like having a handbook or something I would have to read something to do something. That is very difficult for me.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't use the Bible as a manual so I could teach something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or so I could lead something. Mm. I would read it so I could find out more about the God. Mm. God. Because
But I mean, I do both. You see, and that's the different. Yeah. That is true as well. Is that, you know, there's times when it's just me and God for me and God, and then there's times when I'm doing it because I'm doing it for other things. And I think that is the difference if you've got a sort of defined role. But I would say probably, you know, going back to your original question, which was other little things. That for me is like when I. When I take my camera out, I'm going out with God.
Mm.
And not because I pray, but just because I'm going to look at the creation, think about the one who created it, admire, you know, the wonder.
Mm.
That's my awe, right? That's how I find awe. And that's for me, you know, a lot of the other stuff I do is prep or for others or, you know, but for me, I would say that's what I do. And I think I would just encourage people to find what is their moment where, I mean, we had to do it with children in school. It's part of the curriculum, develop awe and wonder.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if you want to know God, you need to just find some moments to actually create awe for you. And for some people, it might just be, you know, climbing a mountain or, you know, because it's like, or it might be something totally different.
I remember Bill Johnson teaching on just on secret places, being one of them, one of the keys for him, or including when he was sort of building up other leaders. It's like, how have you built a history with God in the secret place? Is actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is going to be the key to, well, to everything. I suppose to how much you know in your knower that God is with you and that he's going to help you do whatever you've got to get done, whether it's that you don't have a specific thing or if you do have a very specific thing, that it's about investing time in that secret place and building a history with God that's going to that is the beautiful thing that you have is that. It's that relationship, I guess. So the moments are great, but I'm getting that it's not just really about the moments, is it? It's about the every moment. Yes. It's every moment. That's good. That's encouraging to me, and I hope it's encouraging to everybody who's listening to this. So thank you guys so much for talking to me and for taking the time today. I really appreciate it. Bless you guys. Thanks.
Okay, thank you.